Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 277, episode 5 of Dirty Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Friday, March 3rd, 2023. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Nowadays, everybody TikToks asking questions all day, but all that comes out when they move their lips is some stupid bullshit. Motherfuckers act like they forgot about Jay, as in Jay walking.
Wow.
Was courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi, man. Shout out to him. Also, shout out to him for the thing that was stuck in my head, the "Come loft us up where we belong" was actually the first AKA he ever wrote for our guest host today, Emmy nominated writer, artist, comedian behind many an acclaimed podcast. Great podcast guest, if you listen to You're Wrong About. And author of the upcoming book, Raw Dog, which if you like Jamie Loftus, if you like this podcast, you are truly going to love it. It's so readable. It's just, the pages fly by.
What more could you hope for?
It's no, but book? Like, that is a thing for me. It's like, some books are like good, but I'm just like, my eyes reject them. And Raw Dog is incredibly readable. It goes down very easy and is so funny, so good, so smart. She's here all week, folks. It's Jamie Loftus!
I've been on the road searching for a dog that's long enough. Maybe you can show me one I love. Maybe I'm going through withdrawals. I don't even need to eat a bunch. I am satisfied with just a touch. Baby. My fridge is cold and empty, oh, like a rink that's used for hockey, oh. Sunny says I need some ice and raw dogs. I said, ooh, these Zamboni nights. No, I can't sleep until I smooth that slush. I said, ooh, I'm hosting Daily Zeit, and I write about hot dogs, order the book. That's amazing. A Christy Yamaguchi main original.
Yeah, I feel it's hitting for the cycle today, folks.
He's really been churning out the hits for well over half a decade. He's like had an unrun.
One of our greatest Weird Al Yankovic's.
Truly, just a run unlike, you know. It's just been 96 bulls with this guy on and on and on. It's incredible.
He makes Weird Al look like normal Al Yankovic. He's so good.
Wow.
I think that would be a compliment, right? By the
regular
property. he makes regular Weird Al look Albert. Like regular? Regular Alfred Yankovic?
Al was like, what is the Al short for? I don't know.
No clue. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a comedy writer, podcast producer, animator, actor. You know from podcasts like Left-Handed Radio and the new podcast, WLHR Fake Radio. It's Adam Bozarth!
Cocaine Bear. Snowding Hollywood snow in his cocaine lair.
Nice. I love
Swish.
It. Swish. Swish. From way downtown. Bozarth. What's going on, man?
Oh, it's good to be back.
Did I fuck up the name of your new show? Is it WLHR
Fake WLHR Radio? WLHR Fake Public Radio.
Because public radio. I knew I fucked
public
Jack.
Radio. I mean, it's still... It's still fake radio. It's not incorrect.
Mm. Yeah. There was more of a description and it was a shorthand. And that's why I did it.
Yeah.
Because I'm so familiar with it. Well, thank you for doing the Lord's work and making fun of public radio. NPR is a frequent subject of, I don't know.
It's a very silly world that demands that you take it seriously. And. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Like one of the shows we did was we made a Halloween version of The Daily called The Nightly with Michael Barbaric.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I'm scared. I'm already scared.
Yeah, it was pretty spooky. Stuff. We interviewed Freddy Krueger about why kids aren't easy to terrify anymore.
Does he have the same pausing?
Oh, yeah.
The same... Oh, good.
Yeah.
We did the... It started because I was doing the Michael Barbaro voice, but doing the Silver Shamrock ads from Halloween 3, where I would just be like, it's almost time, kids. It's your favorite Halloween 3, the spooky witch, the scary skeleton, and Pumpkinhead.
Damn, Michael Barbaro sounds like he wants to fuck me. What's going on? That is
my favorite Barbaroism is when he's like that convention where it's like, I'm trying to connect my Zoom call. I can't get it on. And you're like, man, I know you're a person. Just start at the part where you're talking.
Just edit that out.
I know. Yeah, I know you have an editor, Michael. I know that it took them extra work to not edit that out.
Right. It's weirder that you texted them to leave it in.
Leave it in. The part where I was struggling with my Zoom call, leave it in.
People are going to connect with that hard.
Yeah. That's verisimilitude. That's what people are looking for in their podcast. Mm-hmm.
I haven't listened to The Daily for so long that I was trying to do a Michael Barbaro like vocalization, but I did Master P instead. I
was like, Master P.
Make him say,
Make him say,
nah, nah, nah.
I wonder if anyone's done that, the Barbaro vocalization. Make him say, Anyways, the internet, you have your homework.
That's the noise of public radio is that.
Yeah.
Give the Discord 20 minutes. It'll be done.
Thank you. Thank you, Discord. Mm-hmm. The Discord is wonderful. I do enjoy it. Anyways, Adam, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things that we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the UN has raised the idea once again that we should start like reflecting the sun's rays against the away from the Earth to combat global warming. They're like, well, no one's going to stop polluting the Earth, so now let's pollute it in another direction, like a different direction, which is the inciting incident for Snowpiercer. Or I guess it's not the inciting incident, but it's the thing that it's like the Skynet. We have competing post-apocalyptic scenarios. We've got Skynet, you know, ChatGPT, and then Snowpiercer has entered the ring and the UN is advocating for it. So it raises a bunch of new questions. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Elon Musk brain chip. Not good. Elon Musk bad brain chip.
Mm? No.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
I'm prepared to debate about that.
Yeah, I actually have some thoughts. And Elon's a genius. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about King Charles's coronation. I
still feel so weird for him to be called king.
I know. It's amazing. I'm just so hopeful that somebody is taking behind the scenes footage of the planning of this coronation, because he, like, the very small snippets we got of his pen running out of ink and him just having like a mental breakdown over it. Like, I want that for all of this, because nobody wants to play his coronation. Like, all his favorite musicians that he asked, nobody wants to do it.
Really?
Yeah.
No, oh, I can't.
He keeps getting turned down by Adele and Ed Sheeran.
Oh, being rejected by Ed Sheeran, I wouldn't show my face. I wouldn't show my face for years. Right. I know he's very famous, but he just seems like he's available.
Right. Just generally constantly available to all. Also, the Spice Girls, Robbie Williams, and Elton John. So you don't even need to, like, currently be producing hits to turn down King Charles' coronation. But this coronation...
The Spice Girls had time to go on the circle, and they don't...
I know. This coronation is just... I love everything about it. Like, just... They were like... Do we need to just, like, rush it out because he's such a mess and, like, so just pathetic that, like, we don't want people paying attention to it, but now they've, like, paused it for long enough and they're like, we're going to do a thing about, I think it's, like, something about, like, how the economy is down. And so, like, that's going to be the theme of his coronation, is, like, how in touch with ordinary people he is, which just... Oh, my God.
Just don't.
Please do. Please do. Right into the veins.
So much Veep energy to this whole thing.
So much.
It's like, okay, we need to get you to seem like Mr. Regular Guy. We need you to seem like regular Charles, right. Not weird Charles.
And they've been so worried about him, like, from, like, the time the queen turned like 50, they were like, oh my God, she's going to die one day and we're going to be stuck with this guy. Like, he's just like haunted by his own mediocrity. He's just so like the most thin skinned human who has ever existed. There's so many great stories about what like just bizarre human specimen this guy is. So I'm please somebody be taking video. Just even I'll take iPhone footage. We'll edit it together into something coherent, but please get
truly
footage of the planning
flop
of
to
this.
His core.
To his absolute core.
King flop.
It's in his marrow. Yeah. And it's like, if you know, I don't know, I'm like, at the very very least, an evil colonizer family can do is be embarrassing
in public.
Yeah.
Like, for all of us. Yes, absolutely. But the royal family is in their flop era for sure. We are gonna get to probably some of that, but first, Adam, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Well, I was like, I was looking up my astrological sign, and the reason I was like looking it up is because, like, I don't know much about it. Like, well, here's also the thing, because, like, my birthday's on the 22nd, so I'm two at once, you know what I mean? Like, depending on the source.
Oh, you're a cusp. Are you a Pisces Aries cusp?
No, Scorpio Sagittarius. Pisces Aries.
Oh, I thought your birthday was coming up. I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's okay. I mean, in a way it is, but
what month? 22nd, what month?
November.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so it was like one of those things where it was just like, it's not something I really paid attention to, and then my partner, Anna, who does left-handed radio with me, she was working on this show about astrology. And we were all just like, what are the things that are supposed to apply to who we are? And then we like read them and it's like, I think it's backwards. Like,
oh, yeah. She got yours. You got hers.
Yeah. Yeah. We seem to.
Well,
have...
that'll happen sometimes, actually, when you live with someone long enough.
That's, I guess. Yeah. I didn't read far enough. I also looked up the old
Capricorn. Sorry.
I looked up the old sandwich shop in my college town to make sure it was still open. Like, I was in one of those.
Yeah. So can you explain the sandwich store controversy to me, somebody who's supposed to pay attention to the news for a living?
And which sandwich store controversy are you talking about?
Isn't there a college sandwich store controversy that's happening?
Oh, wow. Now I have to find that out. Now that's going to be my list.
Oh, wait. Google what were search. You referring to when you said you were looking up?
Do you know how it's like sometimes like you'd just be like, it's like this weird thing where like you just go like, there's so many things closed during pandemic so many like things will just go out of business anyway. And you just go like, is that shop that I got the sandwich at a couple of times still open? And it was just like, let me look. I have to know instead of like just moving on with life.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I feel like college sandwich stores are probably among the most resilient because they had like a starving population marooned there, like even during the pandemic, I think. I guess colleges didn't all stay open during the pandemic. But yeah, I don't know. It's a pretty inelastic demand. I would say they're probably hanging in there. What was your college sandwich place still open?
Yes, it is. It was called the International Sandwich Shop, and it just...
Oh, I love titles like that.
Yeah. It's like in the middle of an Illinois farm town, and it's called the International Sandwich Shop, I guess because they had, like, meats from across the country. It's a ridiculous title.
I love a grandiose title.
Right.
For a place... There's this place called the Hot Dog Hall of Fame, where I'm like, where the fuck do you get off calling it that?
Right.
But it's so thrilling. You're like, yeah, I feel like I'm a part of something bigger than myself when I'm just, you know, eating a bunch of bullshit.
I just looked up mine. It appears to still be in business, although it's impossible to know because the website has not been updated since before I went there. It's Wise Miller's Deli.
The Chicken Madness?
Madness is a delicious sandwich. It's like chunks of grilled chicken.
Cheese. Madness?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not very appropriate. They're not doing a good job of, you know, acknowledging people's mental health struggles, but there's both Chicken Madness and Burger Madness, and they are delicious sandwiches. But the website leaves
that rocks.
Something to be desired. Although I think it's come back around to being like cool again.
Like, yeah, it's got like a kitsch appeal now.
Yeah, the web design is actually like the color combo is salmon.
It's back.
And then, yeah, and then like a very strange combination of greens. And
it's like low rise jeans. You just have to wait long enough for it to come back.
And I've been waiting, and I'm ready to put mine to sport mine again, my low rise jeans.
I wonder if the Chicken Madness is still like there's. I wonder if someone is keeping track of this because I would drop everything to do it if it's not being done. Just like keeping track of like our fallen sandwiches over time. Mm. The Chicken Madness, there's a whole story there, you know? The seafood sensation from Subway. I know that there's still people that are fighting for that to this day. The tuna sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts, that's obviously something that's important to me. But there's just a lot of, you know, sandwiches that have been, and I want like a defunct land style YouTube channel for like sandwiches that don't exist anymore.
Yeah. Well, the Chicken Madness is not going away, so it's not going to be on your...
Thank God.
Thank you. Thank God. It's not going to be on your little show, Jamie, sorry to say.
Fine, Jack.
What is something you think is overrated, Adam?
Did you guys see that, was it the New Yorker, the end of the English major thing?
I saw it and then I said, I'm not clicking on that.
Yeah, it's this like, so it's like one of those like very, you know, typical, like it's got this scare headline, the end of the English major. And it's like Arizona State University is seeing a decline in people studying English and getting their degrees in English. Some colleges are saying like, we don't have enough students to necessitate an English program. And it's like, we focus so much on STEM within the last like 5-10 years that people are not motivated to get their degree in English. And also there's like that's typical like cell phone scare thing of like, oh, people have cell phones. They don't read books anymore. I mean, this one professor's like, I just got a smartphone, and I went from reading 5 novels a month to 1 novel a month because I'm reading all these websites. And it's like,
like,
okay.
Shut up. Say
this
less.
This is why people don't want to study English, just because of this boring attitude.
I hate when someone does something boring and then they're like, this is news. You're like, it's not. Shut up. You got a phone. It's not my problem. Oh my God.
Exactly. And also, like, lamenting, like, I couldn't imagine assigning Middlemarch to today's English students. And it's like, well, maybe that's fine. Like, maybe we do actually need a focus on STEM, and we don't need people like going into massive debt to get an English major. You know what I mean? Like, if it's a specialty major, or you can't get one at every college, maybe that's not a problem.
Mm. Well, I don't even think, I mean, I'm like, I saw some conversation going on around that piece I think when I learn about something on Twitter, I'm like, probably safer to not interact with this and never learn what it is. That's sort of my current Twitter policy. But I did see people like say like, oh, well, there's also like, it's such a common thing to like bully people who are like history or English majors that like, I would understand why people would be less willing to do it. And also, like you're saying, like less willing to, like if it was more accessible to get an English degree and you didn't need to go into 6-figure debt to do it, I'm sure that more people would want to. But if the price of college is going up, then it makes sense that like, it would be more popular to get a degree that you could probably get a, like almost certainly get a job in afterwards, which sucks. Cause then it's like,
yeah, that does
I don't know.
Suck.
I sort of,
it
like
is a bad thing, I think.
Yeah.
Sure. It's bad. Yeah.
It's not great. Yeah.
Like that people are like, I'm on my grind. I got a major in angel investor venture capital firms or whatever the fuck.
I just hate the idea that they would blame it on phones. It's like, okay, well, if phones are like, phones aren't going to go anywhere. So a lot of people are, I don't know. It's like even like the rise in popularity in like audiobooks. It's like, yeah, you just need to find a way to consume the same thing that matches people's like consumption habits better.
Right.
Chill out. Professor
I also think that
dork.
That's, yeah.
Chill out, Professor Dork is a t-shirt, I have to say.
I'm going to get canceled. I'm kidding. I don't know.
That's a great t-shirt. I was a philosophy major, so I don't know anything about useless majors.
Yeah. Yeah. I have my degree in art, so.
Nice.
I have my degree in screenwriting.
Hot dogs.
Did you? Hell yeah. That's a trade, though. Philosophy, not so much. Philosophy majors are all, like, they're like, you could be a lawyer or you could be a philosophy professor and teach other philosophy majors.
The two genders.
Exactly.
I consider you to be a philosopher, Jack O'Brien.
Oh, that means so much to me. Mm-hmm. That's much better than lawyer. I consider you to be a lawyer, Jack.
Thank you so much.
A closeted lawyer.
You know, I've had boyfriends that have told me that when I argue with them that I would, they're like, you know, you would make a great litigator, but it's meant to be insulting.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
And all men are so bad at arguing with women that they are like, oh my God, Cochran, what are you talking
their
about?
Their defense is, wow, you're winning this argument.
Wow, you should be a professional bitch. Maybe. Maybe you should be. You're like, maybe I will. Mm.
Yeah. What's something you think is underrated, Adam?
I don't know about you guys, but I am so relieved that the Havana syndrome isn't real.
you're worried
about
it, right?
We talked about this yesterday.
It's one of these things where, like, we are definitely living in, like, science fiction times, and the idea that, like, you know, our intelligence agents are getting, like, you know, laser beamed in the head is frightening, and then to find out that it's just anxiety and crickets is a bit of a relief.
Yeah. But,
like, I'm not ready for that level of, I guess, warfare.
Yeah. And I think they weren't either. Like, that's the amazing thing, because they spent the entirety of the Cold War benefiting from, like, their paranoia and, you know, just being super paranoid and being like, that means that Russia has these super weapons, and we need to be spending billions and trillions of dollars on these weapons. That's what it was like driven by. And the fact that this time they're just like, nah, they're sorry, we were making it up, our bad, this is embarrassing. I do appreciate it. And I am glad. I was also very on the record that this wasn't real from pretty early on. So I'm glad.
I gotta say, it's day two of us talking about Havana Syndrome on the Daily Zeitgeist, and I'm no closer to understanding what we're talking about.
Oh, no.
I think that's brave of me to admit. Yesterday, I think I really muscled my way through the conversation and tried to say just enough words. And today, I just don't get it.
It does sound like a John Clancy novel or something like that. So I don't blame you for just checking out at the name Havana Syndrome.
It's like basically a couple of spies. Do you want to know what it is, or do you want to just kind of stay, just muscle through?
No, I want to know. Want to know. I like to learn from my friends.
A couple spies in Havana were like, they heard a loud beaming, like a loud screeching noise, and then started suffering from like vertigo and stuff like that. And then they told other spies that, and those spies had similar things happen to them. And they, and so it became this thing where they were like, Russia has a sound weapon that they're like attacking us with, and it is like frying our brain matter. And like, that you guys need to look into this. And it seems to like there was a very good article from ProPublica early on where they were just like tracing how the reports came in. And it was just clear that it, like, the way these were spreading was through like social contact with people, and then like hearing about it in like very uncertain circumstances and feeling weird about it.
Okay.
And then there was that New York Times article that like showed that it, you know, could be this mass psychogenic thing that they've done a really good job of studying and like figuring out how to treat it. But then it, like, once it became a news story, it also like tied in with Trump wanting to undo all of Obama's progress with Cuba. And so he like pulled a bunch of spies out of Havana and was like, you know, Cuba is either attacking us or making it possible for people to attack us. So it was like this big international incident that was probably caused by, like Adam said, anxiety and, you know,
power of suggestion,
deep spiritual issues that CIA agents have with what they do for a living.
Wow. Is it the ringing of in their ears of their own regret?
So somebody got a recording of this like noise.
Yeah, they recorded the beam.
And they were like, that's the laser beam noise. And then people were studying it, and an entomologist was like, those are Cuban crickets.
That's just what crickets sound like down
God.
There.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, no, that actually wasn't the one we were, sorry, we got the recording wrong. That actually wasn't the one. Wait, first of all, are you like a fucking lawyer? Because like the way you're picking this apart is upsetting.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Being a huge bitch.
you guys, you're being a huge bitch right now about the Savannah syndrome stuff. Like that.
I wish you could just say that to the CIA. Yeah. Wait, but you can't.
Unfortunately. Yeah. So anyways, it does seem like people are taking this last report, because there's been like many reports that were like, that this was not a thing. There were no weapons. But it does seem like this last one, because it was multiple intelligence agencies kind of coming together and say it wasn't a thing, it seems like it's actually like kind of broken through. And now Havana Syndrome is officially seen by a lot of people now as like what it was. So that is, in a nutshell, what it is. And I'm sorry that I didn't do a better job explaining that on yesterday's episode. But
no, it was my job to understand better when I showed up, and then I got scared. But you know, here we are. I think we're doing good.
Yeah, we're all doing our best here. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about reflecting the sun's energy away from the earth.
Oh my God.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back. And have you guys seen Snowpiercer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, in that movie, that just, like, in the prologue, like, the news clip montage prologue, they're like, somebody put it to combat climate change, somebody put a chemical into the atmosphere to, like, reflect the sun's rays away from the Earth, and they, like, overdid it. And now the planet is ice planet, and the only people who are alive are on this train. And that definitely scared me off of this idea. I'm like, no. But now the UN is kind of floating it out there again. And there's a really good book, The Ministry for the Future, that is like somebody who really understands climate change and international, like, geopolitical systems, writing about how the future of climate change could most likely play out. And they also, like, bring this up quite a bit. I think the author's name is Kim Stanley Roberts. The author's name is Kim Stanley Robinson, and it's a good book. It's worth reading. And one of the, like, things that happens in the book is there's, like, a massive heat wave in India that kills, like, millions of people and motivates that country to, like, go rogue and do their own, like, high atmosphere gas release that actually works to, like, cool the climate. But that is now, like, a thing that people are writing about in news article because, like, that we're nobody is doing the things that we would need to do to stop polluting the planet enough to have catastrophic climate change. And so the solution is to put something in the atmosphere that would act similar to, like, what a volcanic eruption does, which is, like, you know, the global temperature after a really significant volcanic eruption, the global temperature will drop by, like, a degree or two because of all the ash in the atmosphere and, like, the sun not reaching us as much as it does without that stuff.
So, it's so bleak that like that we're at this point where it's like it's so clear that there's not going to be any large scale action to that it's like people are trying to think two steps ahead of like, well, there's no chance there's ever going to be any regulations that are significant enough to save the planet. So what if, like, it's just, I understand the logic behind it, but it's just like, oh, Jesus Christ, we're just never going to get good climate change legislation. Yeah. Cool.
Just like fiddling with the thermostat is essentially what we've come up with.
Right. Yeah. You're like blowing the fucking Nintendo cartridge and hoping for the best. And you're just like...
just put across the entire globe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's going to be really tricky to like get everybody on board with this. And like, especially, you know, where like right now, like the super wealthy are going to be the least affected by climate change and like probably in the near future. And so
they're all going to the Denver airport and they're going to, you know, wait it out.
Yeah. What's the Denver airport conspiracy theory is that like there's a tunnel city underneath it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you educate me.
There's a bunch of tunnels. There's some Girl Scouts in the 90s that claim that they saw the rich people tunnels, and they're like, oh, but no one ever brought up the tunnels. Why did the Girl Scouts get the tour of the rich people tunnels? I couldn't tell you. All I know is there's Asian Girl Scouts that have been to the tunnel, and they're gonna go down there. They're gonna live well while the rest of us burn to a crisp, I think is the plan.
Yeah.
Or you know, freeze, depending on where things go. But that's why the Denver airport is allegedly scary. I believe it.
There's like a really freaky mosaic there too of like people in gas masks and stuff, like out of nowhere.
There's
like a lot of
Holocaust imagery.
Yeah.
There's gargoyles at baggage claim. There's that big scary horse.
Yeah.
That with the glowing red eyes whose like leg fell off and killed the sculptor that was creating it. There's a lot of stuff going on at the Denver airport. I love getting stuck there. It makes me feel like I'm in B movie. It's exciting.
Yeah. It is. It's got a super villain lair feel anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Minions, big Gru energy to the Denver airport.
Big Gru energy.
Minions work there. That's how you know shit's going down. But okay. So they're going to, back to this study we're talking about.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just the UNEP, which is the UN's like environmental something or other, wrote that like with the world not responding to climate change urgently enough, a speculative group of technologies to reflect sunlight back away from the earth has been getting more attention recently. And they're like, it isn't ready for prime time yet, but this view may change if climate action remains insufficient. The report says, signaling that it's time for rigorous study of both the technologies and the potential international governance, which seems like the tricky part.
But do they have the chemical? Like, do they know what it would be? It's just a matter of, or is it just like we'd have to put in a lot of research to find the chemical that would, you know, mimic volcanic ash?
I think they have some theories, but it's also like one of those things that you do. It's not really a thing that you want to like go with the guess and check like method on like changing the global temperature.
It's a one and done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see how it goes. There, I guess my question here, and this has to do with the fact that I don't know how the UN works really, but if this is a suggestion being brought by their kind of environmental team, why would the world agree, like why would all of the nations in the UN be able to agree on this proposition if they already cannot agree on other climate change action? Like,
right.
That's, yeah.
I think the climate change action requires them to make sacrifices and do things that are like not profitable. Whereas like our entire, you know, programming, all our coding as a civilization has like built itself up to the point that it's like that is impossible to do something that is not like operating in the most efficient way for shareholder value, it seems like.
Right.
And so they're just like does not compute, like there's just like spark there the wiring behind their eyes is like sparking every time that you try and get them to do some sort of climate change action, or, you know, like one of the big thought systems is like, what about not gearing everything towards growth? And they're like, what? Like, just blinking 30 times? Like,
because it's not sustainable and we'll blow up. Right. So this would be like an opportunity to circumvent, like, or try to have it both ways.
Yeah. Someone's going to make money.
If we do the volcanic ash thing,
creating the technology. Yeah. So it's like probably just more jobs created. We're going to create some jobs sending people into the stratosphere to spray volcanic ash. Or, yeah. I mean, I don't think they're necessarily trying to exactly mimic volcanic ash. I think just volcanic eruptions are the thing that has, like, given them this idea, essentially. But it does seem like something we want to be really careful with, and also something that's going to be incredibly hard to get everybody to agree on. And yeah, I'm sure there's a way that the wealthy people who actually control, like, what decisions get made are going to fuck this up for the rest of us.
Right. Unless there's, like, some valuable contract to be gotten from having done it.
Like, I think part of them, like, they've bought all that property in New Zealand. Like, I'm sure there's, like, at least a good portion of the population who, like, meet up in Davos every year who are just like, we kind of want this. It seems like it would be fun, and we would get to, like, repopulate the earth because they have
floating mansions.
Yeah. Like that. So they're like, why? I don't want to have wasted that money. So I could see, even if this does turn out to be a good idea, I could see this being sort of hitting some headwinds, as they say.
It sounds too much like the plot of a Michael Bay movie for someone to not completely fuck it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Michaels, Bay and Crichton, come together to write a science fiction film that is our future, it turns out. Yeah.
Well, as long as there's a weird little graham cracker-inspired sex scene, I guess all's forgiven.
The Denver airport thing, like, really, I believe that even if it's not at the Denver airport, like, we've already, like, uncovered historical documents that these exist. Like, there's a West Virginia resort that secretly had, like, a massive underground habitat for the president and, like, the leaders of the United States in the event of a nuclear Armageddon that was, like, there throughout the Cold War in case they needed it. And now you can, like, go and take tours of it. But because it was, like, far enough into history, we just are like, oh, that's quaint. But there's no way that, like, Bezos doesn't have at least, like, five of these already, like, under construction.
But, like, yeah, I'm not a conspiratorial, I mean, whatever. Zeitgang, we've been together for a long time. I'm not a conspiratorially minded person, but this one I fully, like, if you've got evidence that it's not true, I'd love to see it, because why would you build an airport like that? It's the worst airport in the world.
it is so weird. It's so horrible. Far away from Denver. It's so, like, just sprawling and strange.
They're just counting on that. But then also, I'm like, maybe it's not true. Going to Denver makes me lightheaded and gives me a nosebleed. Maybe my brain cells are not operating as they were intended while I'm at this airport. But yeah. I believe in the theory. Look up the Girl Scouts. That sounds also like a Michael Bay movie. The Girl Scouts. No, you got to find the Girl Scouts. Cut to Christina Hendricks, a Girl Scout in her 40s, being like, I saw it.
That's right. Yeah, and like the... like, in a post-apocalyptic setting, like, with people, like, wandering the earth, they just, like, put a bunch of, like, scary art up around to be like, don't come here. This isn't where you want to be, wandering band of cannibals. That's my loose theory.
We'll sick the demon horse on you.
Yeah.
I've seen, it might have been TikToks, but I don't remember. At this point, like, employees of the Denver airport seem to be conditioned to kind of, like, lightly engage with this if it's brought up to them. That's where they're like, ooh, I don't know.
Like, I don't know if they tell you. Yeah, if you have any information on this, that's not just like the standard Wikipedia article, but like, yeah, hit us up. If you work there, if you know somebody who works there, let us know.
Yeah, don't bother me with anything before results page like 17, because I've seen it.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk Elon Musk.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it pop biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
And we're back. And ooh. Elon Musk's Neuralink, he's repeatedly been like, this is, it's coming, folks, just any day now, since I think 2016. He's
that's
like
so unlike him.
I know, right? So on at least four occasions since 2019, Elon Musk has predicted that his medical device company Neuralink would soon start human trials of a revolutionary brain implant to treat intractable conditions such as paralysis, blindness, and it seems like they just hit a major block in their progress, because they did finally submit it to the FDA to be like, all right, like what do you think, guys? Like, we're good here, right? Everything, this is just a formality. We're good. We're about to start jamming these things into people's brains.
I like the idea that, like, the in my mind, the way to test it is to, like, put the chip in someone's brain and then show them, like, an Elon Musk joke tweet. And if they laugh, it's working.
Right.
They're they like, just get, like, 13 orgasms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. If you see an Elon tweet and you come at least a gallon, and yeah, then that's how you know it's working.
Yes. But the agency, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, rejected the application. It's wow. Shocking. This is according to 7 current and former Neuralink employees. They say it's not happening. A big sticking point is the whole jamming a lithium battery into your brain thing. That seems to trouble them. Some of the listed concerns are that wires could migrate to other areas of the brain, and worries about how the device can be removed without damaging brain tissue. So
okay, so little things.
It's removed. Like it's very much the yeah, exactly. Thank you. What? Why would I ever want to take this amazing thing out? That just get upgrades, just get software updates, like your Tesla.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you have Neuralink, will you also be convinced to just run off the side of a cliff? Like, is
I can walk now, but I can't recognize semi trucks.
Yes.
From a sunset.
Yeah. Well, there was a sun glare situation, and I did run into the middle of the 405, unfortunately. But yeah, the whole culture there is that, like, they're like, okay, this is just a little bump in the road. We're just going to quickly resolve the issues that they brought up. But the issues are all, like, the very first things that come to mind when you hear about this prospect. It's like, yeah, you're sticking something into a human's brain like that. That's a mess. Like, well, how are they going to overcome that? And it seems like they just hadn't considered that problem carefully enough. And
the last I heard about it, didn't it kill like 15 out of 23 monkeys?
Yes.
That they tested it on?
Yes.
Really?
Not a good average. Even if it's an ape killing chip, it's also not a good average.
Right. They're going through monkeys like they're printer cartridges, like just treating them as an inexhaustible resource. And the culture there is that regulators are obstacles to innovation and you have to like trick them. So you're not like, even this is not being viewed as like, oh, they make some good points. It's being viewed as, how do we like trick them into giving us like the ability to do the thing that is going to be most profitable.
Which is how all of Elon Musk's businesses have like gotten shit through. I mean, I feel like we were hearing similar stuff with Tesla of like, well, yeah we're not going to fix the problem. We're just going to like wait until they're willing to be steamrolled into releasing the product.
Yeah. The company's also gotten shit from the Department of Transportation for illegally transporting dangerous pathogens on chips removed from monkey brains without proper containment measures. So it just seems like I think very wealthy people want to cause the apocalypse. Like, I think they've sunk a lot of investment into a post-apocalyptic world. Like, Elon Musk, it does probably have a, you know, underground bunker in every like major city in the United States, and he is like trying to repopulate the globe already with, you know, all the babies he's having.
With people who look like shit. I don't know what his kids look like. I just know he looks like shit.
Yeah. He really does.
I know I said the thing about English majors going away not being a big deal, but there was this thing I heard a while back where like somebody was characterizing the tech leaders, the people that we think of as like, oh, geniuses in their field, like Musk and Bezos and Zuckerberg, as like, they're big fans of science fiction, but it seems like they experience science fiction stories, like either TV and movies, and go like, oh, that thing that ruined everything, let me make one of those.
Right. They're like, their imagination is fired by the concept. Like, somebody gives them the log line of the science fiction thing, and then they never like bother reading through to see the consequences. They're just like,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's just like sort of that sort of like, I still think that like English going away as a major is a different thing than like, I don't know, teaching media literacy and reading comprehension, and like that, you know, sometimes these stories are meant to warn you against doing something.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Even though expanding on like the humanities in general, where it's like, yeah, it's not profitable to get a history degree, but someone's got to get a fucking history degree.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You know, or we are really and truly fucked. And it's like, well, it's more the issue of, I don't know. And then I feel like there is a lot of like gendered aspects to like, they're not being like, to STEM being so overwhelmingly male, that there was like a push for women to get STEM degrees, which makes a lot of sense. But it's like, that doesn't need to be at the behest of, you need people in the damn humanities. So that someone can write a banger about Elon Musk. I do feel like with this Neuralink thing, I worry that it's just going to be Tesla all over again, where it's just like, we're going to be talking about these kinds of stories of like, it killed every, like it failed every possible test. And then fast forward 6 months and they're like, but it's coming out for, you know, reasons.
Well, yeah.
Because
he has more money, like that he probably spends more money on like travel and food than the FDA budget. Like personally, he probably does. Like the FDA's budget is like not that significant. Like the, yeah. So, I mean, like that's the thing is that like even with the English, the history majors, it's like, well, it's about where you choose to invest money, right? As a society. And like we've left it up to billionaires to tell us where to invest money. We haven't always done that, but like that is the world we live in now. So like, yeah, it's become less profitable to be a history or English major because the world is run by fucking Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. And like that sort of that idea, that life, like does not compute for them. So like, yeah, we've just let them build a civilization in their own image. And it's not good. I feel like it's going to be bad.
Like, especially with history, it's like we've got to find a way to make young people studying history and like studying it in a way that is like there is an understanding of who is writing history to just have that invested in. Because it's like if no one understands history, then whatever. Yeah. It's like stuff you hear all the time. Then it's just like that's intentional. The Elon Musks and Jeff Bezoses of the world don't want you to understand history because they're like the worst part of it.
Yeah.
And there's like precedent for them. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
It should be fine. It'll be fine.
Do you see Neuralink being like a status symbol like a Tesla is? Because I'm wondering how that would play out. Because it's going to be a thing in your head.
Right. I could definitely see a future where having these like tech implants is a status symbol. And like that, there are probably ways to do this that aren't jamming an ion battery into a human brain that will be like wearable tech, you know, tech implants that are just like under the skin as opposed to like in your brain.
Have you heard about those guys that put like a magnet in their finger?
Yeah. So there's like versions of that. People have these implants that allow them to, you know, do various things. But I think the coolest one, like, yeah, so imagining your finger, what are they doing with that again? I forget.
what are they doing with that?
I think it's like these folks who, like, you know, they'll put like a chip in their like wrist so that they can get into some, you know, locked door in their, you know, research laboratory.
Right.
But then there are also guys who are like putting magnets into their fingertips so that they have basically magnetic fingertips and so that they can basically like cosplay as cyborgs.
Yeah.
Oh,
and there's also like, so there's the cochlear implant that like, if you've seen like The Sound of Metal or like cochlear implant is like an implant that can help people who've lost their hearing, like begin to hear, or who were born without hearing, like be able to hear by like actually interacting with like the messages that are being sent to the brain. And then there are also like people who are doing research into ways you could like create new senses. So like there are people who have created a thing. It's like a vibrating implant that I think goes on your tongue. Sometimes they've tried it on your back, but it's like anywhere where you have a lot of nerve receptors, and it like is sending you information that your brain eventually over time begins to be able to like decode automatically. And so they've done it with like just always knowing what direction north is. Like there was a belt that they tried out where it's like always vibrating slightly to the north. And so eventually you just get this innate ability to know what north is. But there are other things like they've tried with like always knowing what's happening with the stock index and stuff like that. Just having a nonstop feed of information about like things you want. Oh. So it's like adding an additional sense on into your body that your brain is like an amazing machine and will like learn to decode that and just have like a sixth or seventh sense, you know?
But I mean, that just sounds like, I know I'm probably stating the obvious. I intentionally have not been keeping up with Neuralink because it scares me, which is probably bad. But how can you ensure that that is going to be treated ethically? Like the FDA saying this is bad for your physical, like the goop in your head. Glad they're doing that. That's yes. Great. But if they can make it safe for the goop in your head, like what kind? I mean, there would have to be restrictions put in place of like, what can you make this thing do versus what you can't? And like, how much autonomy and control do you have with, so you don't just become a fucking ex machina, you know? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And I feel like we are not in the best civilization to like handle that sort of innovation, I guess would be my point. Because Elon Musk and like the richer you are, the more sway you have. Not like these things that are in place. Like this is an example of one of the things that's in place to moderate these sorts of innovations that like working, but with enough money and enough force over time, like I feel like those things won't be able to stand up. So it's a little scary. Also scary, King Charles's coronation playlist.
Ooh, set list. Swish of transition, Jack.
Yes, thank you. I've been working on my transitions. There's not a lot here. I just really like to luxuriate in imagining King Charles being like, can we get Adele? Can we get Ed Sheeran? And just being told no and having a complete...
I imagine him Googling popular artists.
Yes, absolutely.
Popular British artists. He's like, Ed Sheeran, what do we think?
Spice Girls, Robbie Williams, Elton John all turned him down. I am disappointed to say...
Good for them.
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty clear. Most people don't want to associate themselves with colonialism right now. But which, wise. Wise, yeah, the Spice Girls.
Yeah, bad PR.
Yes, but they did get, and I'm really disappointed in this, in some of the people on this list, they did get Lionel Richie, Andrew Lloyd Webber. I'm assuming.
Well, that's not surprising. Like, that his politics sense. Are yeah. abysmal.
The list, I am happy to say, like, the list of people, they were like, they do have a star-studded event with Gary Barlow, Mark Owen,
who?
And Howard Donald. I don't know who
Howard Donald isn't the person.
They
that's
are
made
due
up.
To do just an assortment of white guy names. Mark Owen, Howard Donald. Yes, those are all white guy
those
names.
Those are all but first names.
All
those
first
are just
names.
A series of first names. Oh, that's so funny.
I know a lot of people are going to be like, actually, Mark Owen is a great artist. And that's,
I was
that's
really disappointed
you.
That Howard Donald, I was disappointed to see that he aligned with colonialism. You're like, who the fuck is Howard Donald? Be
but
serious.
Also, Kylie Minogue is in.
No!
I don't.
Okay, now I'm pissed.
I think Kylie Minogue needs to revisit this decision.
I really hope that, her fans pummel the shit out of her on that one. Get out of there. I guess I don't know anything about Kylie Minogue's politics, and I think I'm proud of that. But now I have concerns.
You should be. Because you've worked hard not to know anything about Kylie Minogue's politics.
People won't stop talking about it. Yeah.
But like if he, like the way we saw him react to the pen ink getting on his fingers and him saying like every stinking time with this thing was like I can only imagine like him getting the news of Ed Sheeran and Adele bailing on being like, oh, sorry, we got a thing at that time. So, God, just somebody give me some video. Like, there's got to be like that whole country is under like CCTV observation at all times. Like, get me an angle on Windsor Square or Windsor Palace, because I just love watching this guy be disappointed by his own mediocrity.
If one of these artists was really galaxy braining it, I would hope that one of them would sample the phone call of them turning down the coronation on a future album.
Yes.
That would absolutely rock.
Absolutely. Like the phone message, like, you know, that's being used to great effect. And like there's a great Chief Keef song from last year that's, again, like just a long phone message from, I think it might be his mom or grandma, just being like very complimentary, but the song just fucking rules. Like, so like people are doing great things with phone messages. Just please record this message and and bring it to us.
Just like us. Yeah. Like a skit on the next Adele album. Just being her being like, I'm sorry, I'm not available. I'm sorry. I have something to do.
Yeah.
My son has a football game.
This great story I've heard about Peter Cook, who the comedian, the British comedian. He was, I think, most famous for being in the priest in Princess Bride, you know?
Oh, okay.
Marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
Very funny guy. He's like a staple of British comedy. And King Charles one time invited him to some like royal event and was like, can you make this date? And Peter Cook is like, yeah, let me check my calendar real quick. And then like flips through and goes, oh, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm watching television that night.
So he's just like constantly getting owned. That's been his life from and then he takes it out on the pens.
Love it.
All right, well, Adam, truly a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
I'm still using Twitter, so it's still there at Adam Bozarth. I'm also on Instagram, although I don't post there as much, but it's still there. But definitely go to lefthandedradio.com and check out the sketch show I do, and definitely subscribe to WLHR Fake Public Radio wherever you find and download podcasts.
Yeah.
I think if you like this show, you'll like WLHR a lot.
And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
I was looking through my tweet likes, and there was one that I have been like thinking about a lot. It's like stuck in my imagination. It's from at Kathor Jensen, and it's a fun thought exercise is to transplant the Texas Chainsaw Massacre to another state and imagine what it would be like. Vermont, Delaware, Hawaii.
There you go. Jamie, truly a pleasure having you co-hosting. Where can people find you, follow you, read you, all that good stuff?
Twitter.com still at Jamie Loftus Help, Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. Announced today, or I guess technically yesterday, that I'm going to be going on tour with You're Wrong About for a lot of the spring.
Amazing.
Going to like 15 different cities. It's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
So there's some places are sold out, but you should get tickets where there's still not places sold out. I'm really excited.
So good.
And then, order Raw Dog, my book about hot dogs. And I wanted to share, I got a two-hander, and both of them, they're reading, because I can do that. The first one, I wanted to follow up on yesterday's Albert Okura. So yesterday, Adam, I showed a book that I have called The Chicken Man with the 50-Year Plan, Albert Okura.
Yeah.
He's the founder of the Juan Pollo string of rotisserie chicken restaurants. And then I learned at the end of the day at our episode yesterday that he just died like a month ago. So I still haven't read the book. So I'll report, there's more in the Okura report. But I did read his full New York, he had a lengthy New York Times obituary. He's an important man. And I learned some interesting things about him, including that, first of all, he was the chicken man with a 50-year plan. He started flipping burgers and expressing interest in making chicken restaurants in 1971. So that's what I call a 50-year plan.
Sounds like he had the chicken madness.
Yeah.
He had the chicken madness within him. Yeah. He was, he was born, his grandparents had immigrated from Japan to the U.S. in the 1910s. His parents had been held in detention camps during World War II. They had his family history is really troubling and complicated. And he was, a first generation American and started by flipping burgers at Burger King. And then, bought up all of this real estate on Route 66, including the original McDonald's site, which is why he and then opened an unofficial McDonald's museum.
Right.
I've been. It's where I bought the Chicken Man with the 50-year plan. And it is a big room full of Happy Meal toys. It's but they don't charge for entry. And he just had this really vested interest in his chicken franchise, Juan Pollo, but also in preserving like mid-century, 20th century American history on Route 66. And there's a lot of people who are like preservationists with Route 66 that are like, this is actually a huge loss to our community. It's like one of the only business people that was really invested in preserving that period of history. Anyways, RIP to my friend Albert Okura. He claims to, there's no way to verify this, but I think that that's sort of what the whole book is, basically unverified claims that he's making. He claims to have cooked over 2 million chickens in his career. And you can feel good or bad about that, but he did say it. And RIP Albert Okura. So I guess for the second day in a row, I'm recommending The Chicken Man with the 50-year plan.
With a 50-year plan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien, at Keon on Twitter. Hoodbog is tired of poverty tweeted, why would you name your kid Greg? And it's just a question that I think we all need to ask.
Once you get pregnant,
yeah, exactly.
You have a Greg.
Easy question. I thought that was appropriate for a Jamie episode. Yeah. Also, I think I saw a tweet by somebody being like, when you get pregnant from someone named Greg, you are pregnant, with no citation. And it kind of went off. And I was like, that's...
You live long enough, right, and people are ripping off the pregnant Preganonet Pignat video. Be serious.
Be serious, people. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Super producer Justin, what is a song that you think people might enjoy?
This is a track called Coming Through by S Fidelity, who I believe is a Berlin-based artist. It sounds like a blend of chiptune music and European hip-hop. I could see this song being on the soundtrack to Jet Set Radio, which is like a rollerblading graffiti game that I used to play on the Sega Dreamcast. So this track is called Coming Through by S Fidelity, and you can find that song in the footnotes.
Rollerblading graffiti. What a combo. Yeah.
What a good, yeah, that's a powerful word combo.
What a time to be alive, whenever that came out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
A lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.